nature on himself. That's our robe. And he took that. He took our nature on himself and gave us his. And in this covenant, we're joint ours in Christ. Last week we talked about a surety. How he is a surety. And when someone becomes a surety for another person, they assume all debt. If I'm a surety for you, then that debt's mine. And he is a surety for us. We looked at that older brother in Judah and how he said he would be a surety. And he said, let all the blame be upon him forever if he did not deliver the son back to the father. And when we looked at that and see the blessedness of eternal salvation, of eternal security in Christ, because we have his robe and he's our surety. And then we looked at Hebrews 12:6, in whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth like a child. And if we don't have that occasionally, then something's wrong. A lot of times we know God may be moving, and it's not as much chastening for us as it did for someone else, but it's still in God's will. Then let's think a little bit. I'm going to skip several scriptures here, but how we enter that covenant with him is by faith. And for years, I didn't think much about faith when people would speak of faith and say, we're saved by grace through faith. But faith is a gift from God. We know that. But faith is a big thing. Faith is a substance. Faith has fruit that you can see and feel. You know, the lost man will talk to us. And he'll talk about blind faith. Well, I mean, you just accepting that. But it's not blind to us. And I want us to look at some of these scriptures. Well, I want you to turn to Hebrews 11:1. But we enter this covenant by faith. As I studied that this week and looked at different things here, it became a real blessing to me. Just to, I guess I've always seen a little bit of what faith was, but I seen just a little deeper. By looking at faith, like you look at the body, this body has senses. What, hear, see, smell, taste, and feel. And faith is to the soul what the senses are to the body. We can see God through faith. When someone told us about Calvary, we seen it. Right? We seen it through faith. We actually saw that in our, through faith, we saw that. Faith is substance. Hebrews 11:1. I never read, I always looked at Hebrews. And you could pick out every one of them, like Sarah, through faith Sarah. Well, Sarah was the one that laughed when God said what he did. Every one of them that you look at there. But see, faith is a gift. Faith is a gift from God. Now, I don't want to confuse you with this. I just want to move on down. Let's look at Hebrews. Faith is a substance. That's what it says. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I can't see God. I can't touch him. But I can through faith. I can feel him. We'll talk about this a little more as we're going through the lesson, but you see what I'm getting at there. Faith is to the soul what the senses are to the body. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For For by it the elders attained a good report. Through faith, we understand. That hit me this week. I've always read it and read right through it. Through faith, we understand creation. We understand. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I jumped the gun a lot, but having your senses exercised to discern. We understand. A man that's got the Spirit of God in him and got that Holy Spirit promise, he understands things. Lost man doesn't understand those things. Faith is the ears when God speaks. Let me just read some things I wrote down here. He speaks, and faith is the ear that listens. We cannot see, hear, touch, feel, or smell him. But the substance makes him real to us, right? It's a substance. Why, it's just as I sit down and eat that bowl of cereal, to eat God's word is just as real, just as much there as that substance is. Faith is not something that's just blind. You know, years ago I watched, even in this church, even in my life, how we would want more faith. God, make me more faith. And what we would do was get up, go to that altar, and oh, God, give me more faith. Lester Roloff said, you want more faith, do more walking. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a substance. I mean, as I studied this week, I saw something. Now look at this. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now turn to Romans 1:20. But verse 3 there is the key to what I'm talking about. Through faith, we understand. I don't just try to, and it's hard to say this because you're speaking in faith. I don't just strum up in my mind, well, I believe this. Because my senses taste, feel, see, hear that. The senses of my soul. When I read God's word and he gives me something refreshing, it refreshes my soul like a drink of water does my body. Right? We understand these things. This is not blind faith. God speaks to us. People worry about blind faith and don't understand blind. They'll say, well, I just can't step out in that blind faith. When you receive the Spirit of God, it's not blind faith. All right? So, let me get back on my notes here. Romans 1:20. We've been in Romans a lot of times in this class. Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. See that? For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood. In verse 3, Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand. Faith is a substance. Faith produces something in us. It took me a long time in my life to realize that, well, faith is something that I just trust you, like that little child does when you said it. Now, that's a good example. Don't think it's not, but it's what I'm going to use it for comparison. Like I set that little child on the top of the refrigerator and boom, it lumps off into my hands because it knows I'll catch it. But what causes it to do that? Because I caught it one time before. Faith is a substance. Through faith, it said, through faith we understand. Now, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. See, I don't, my faith has substance. Those stars in that sky is my substance of my faith. A man that tells me that they put all, this old world had all, earth had all the parts it needed to make me, and the right thing appeared, and then I appeared. Come on. It takes more faith to believe that than it does to believe there's a creator, right? And what have they put in their faith in? They just won't look at what God said. Science says, what, 70-some percent of our body is water? And the rest is dirt. Is that not right? You are what you eat. Don't eat and you'll see what you are. Right? You take a little carrot seed and you put that seed down on the ground, it makes a carrot. You eat it, you get good nutrients. But God made a man from that. Why can't you really? They're getting pretty close to it. Saying, well, he come from there. Yeah, he did. God took a lump of clay and made him. Made him right out of the earth. But faith is a substance. I can look at what God done around me. I can look at the creation and I don't, come on, it just didn't happen. The laws of thermodynamics, philosophy and some of that, I've been reading some of that this week. That's a little bit above a mountain boy. But I'm going to tell you, their own laws is what puts them down. The law of thermodynamics. The components have to be there. And nothing ever ceases to exist but changes states. Why, my Lord, that's just what God told us here back in the beginning of it. Nothing. Energy just dispensates to another form. That's their own laws. And when you go by them laws, you've got to have somebody to put it together. Well, that wasn't supposed to be in here, but it's good. That's what it's all about. It don't take a bunch. I'm not by blind faith realizing that. Boy, when the psalmist saw a little flower blooming, it reminded him of God, didn't it? The lilies in the valley. Reminded him of the blessings of God that makes cold chills away. He looked at the stars in the heavens and he said how magnificent that God was. See, faith is just not blind. It's not a blind thing. But you know what? It is the gift of a covenant with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we enter into that covenant, excuse me, by believing him. John ought to take care of that for us. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We can make salvation. I've said this so many times in this class. We can make salvation as complicated as we want to. And buddy, you'll always see John 3:16 and the book of John. Whosoever believed in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And what is the condemnation? It tells you that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. He that cometh to the light, Jesus said, come unto me. By faith we go. When he calls, we can't touch him, see him, feel him, but when he calls us to come, faith is the feet that makes that step. Faith is the mouth that feeds on him. These senses to the body is what faith is to the soul. Faith can see, smell, feel. It's not just blind faith. What makes it? I've said this in this class so many times, but things in my life that touch me back years might not touch other people like they do me. But as I've told you about that old drill sergeant that laughed because there's so many atheists in that room. He asked us soldiers, and the biggest majority of us, I didn't go. I went somewhere else, but the biggest majority was going to Vietnam. And he was trying to explain to the men to get their dog tags right because the government wouldn't let somebody pray with you if you had exes. I'm sure there's a lot of them did it anyway, but he was talking about our dog tag, and he said, how many atheists do we have in here? There's hands all over that place. And you know what? It didn't bother that man. He laughed. He chuckled. He chuckled. And he said, I tell you, you atheists pray better than any Protestant I've ever heard in my life. He told how many tourists he'd been in Vietnam, and he said, when you take a slug in the belly, you start praying. He said, who are you talking to? If he's not out there. Oh, God, help me. Who is he? But see, when man is faced with his last breath, things change. He gets a feeling of that faith then, but it may be too late. Faith is the mouth that feeds on him. He said in John 6, the words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. He didn't say they're spiritual and they're living. He said they're spirit and life. They're food, just like that carrot I was talking about. The word of God is to the soul what food is to our body. If you want a weak soul, then don't feed it. You'll be anemic. The hand that takes hold on him. Paul said it. Jesus said, lay hold on eternal life. How do you lay hold on something? Blind faith don't lay hold on nothing. But a substance. Lay hold on eternal life. You grasp it. You feel it. You've got it. You know it. But see, a lost man has to have that spirit that feeds that soul instead of that body. I'm going to jump a few places here. But Jesus said he's the chief cornerstone, right? And through faith, we become one of those blocks that must be joined with him. I mean, a cinder block sitting out here in the yard is no good. It's one of them stones that's been cast away. But when we're joined to that cornerstone, we're one building in Christ. That cornerstone is a beautiful study. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. I used to love to talk to my dad. My dad was an old-time carpenter, born in 1904, and he did carpenter work when they never had power tools. He did carpenter work when he never had a long level. He had a pan of water. But he'd do better than we do now. He took a long pan of water and set it on a beam, and there ain't nothing. That's established as a level. They could take a square which is nothing but a cornerstone. You can take that square and you take that cornerstone, as I've said many times in this class, if it's perfect and you set a pan of water on that cornerstone, you build a good foundation. Wasn't that what Paul said to do? No other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid. You lay that cornerstone on a good foundation. Excuse me. You set you a good pan of water on it that's perfectly measured. And that water just sets just perfect on them marks. Then you can stretch a line all over that thing. From this corner past to that corner over there and swing it out as far as you want to swing it on degrees from what God put this earth in turning. The sun. If it's built to the west, if it's built to the east, God set her in there. And you could take that string and you can go up off of that cornerstone. You can go out off of that cornerstone. You can go across that cornerstone. And you can go in degrees of that cornerstone. He's the chief cornerstone that the building is put together with. And we must be joined to it. And through faith, if we believe in him, through faith, we're joined to it. Okay? I'm hitting a lot of stuff here. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. One of my scriptures I use a lot in the Bible. Let's start reading in verse, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say. Now this is where it's kicking in. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. That's one of the senses, is hearing. And hearing to the soul is like hearing to the body. The soul can get deaf to the word of God, because it's not exercised. Watch this. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, since ye are dull of hearing. For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such that have need of milk and not of strong meat. See, strong meat to a baby's senses, taste, feel it. Sometimes it's good, but it's not ready for it. You ever watch the savor? And we'll read the savor in the Bible. You ever watch a little baby when mama's cooking? And then mama's in that kitchen. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth. Mama's in that kitchen cooking potatoes and ham. And that little baby's smelling that. Got the savor. It's smelling out, and then she pokes them old baby food carrots in its mouth. What do you expect it to do? It's wanting some of them mashed potatoes and butter. Anybody that's got little kids knows that, don't you? They love it. But sometimes they're not ready for it. You see what he's saying here? For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And have become such that have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Unskillful in the word of righteousness, because he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of what? Use. Have their senses exercised to discern. both good and evil. Discern, understand. See how those words keep coming up? If we can discern something, we can understand it. But if we're satisfied in being a baby and not eating properly, then we're not going to discern or understand anything about faith. Faith is a substance and evidence. He said, you ought to know these things. Of whom we have many things. He said, we got many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. See, the senses, the word of God to the soul, right? It's like senses in this body. This soul has senses. Jesus said in John 4:35, said, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they're white already to harvest. You see what he's, you can lift them up and look, but if you can't discern, this goes right on by you. When you're feeding that soul the Word of God like you should, and you lift up them eyes when He tells you to. He was feeding them disciples, and they were taking in what He said. Lord, they were just like little babies in a nest, probably. Just like a little baby I was talking about a while ago. Taking that food He was giving them and growing in God, growing in Christ. And He said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. You see them spiritual eyes, this soul? They can see. I don't know where I've wrote this down. I've got a scripture there, and I just get to lose my places here. 1 Corinthians. Okay, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. You know, when guys go out and knock on doors on Thursday night, you know what they're doing? They're making known in every place the savor of His knowledge. What's savor? That's the smell. That's one of the senses, five senses. Making known, says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. In Christ, we're winners, no matter what. And maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. You see that? We are a sweet savor to God and to them that perish. But you know what? A lot of people's soul ain't going to taste it. Not going to smell it. Get back on this covenant here for a little bit. Isaiah 42:6. But you see how you enter that covenant? You see what I'm talking about? Hey, one day He looked at you and He said, come. And the faith that brought you up out of that pew and made you take a step, that's faith that made you move. Faith is a gift of God. When he says come, and that's the way he ended in Revelation. Now, that's the last message we get from the Lord. The last message. (clears throat) 22:17 And the Spirit and the bride. You see that? Not just the Spirit, but the Spirit and the bride say come. And let him that heareth say come. Now, a lot of times it's going in the ears, but it's going in the ears of the soul. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That ought to be one of your favorite scriptures in the Bible. In Isaiah it said, come, oh, come, buy without money. Buy without money. I want to share my dad's testimony with you. My dad was 85 years old the time I really got his testimony. I know he is a saved man because of the way he walked. He didn't have to get up every Wednesday night to church to get his testimony. You hear me? Because he was an honest man. Don't stand up on Wednesday night and give me your testimony if you're beating somebody during the week. Hard words, folks. But I had no problem with his testimony because I seen the drunk coming and kneel on the porch to pray with him. When he was not too good to put his arm around that old guy and get out and pray with him. But his testimony was this. Where he says, let him take. My dad told me, I said, Dad, I want to hear your testimony. He told me. He worked in a sawmill. My dad ran a sawmill. He owned a sawmill. Run it for a long time, built houses too. And he said they were having revival at the church, the old Gracia Creek Church, Ernest. The old one. And said they were having revival that week, and he was going every night. Said this young man got up, he preached that revival. And he never raised his voice no louder than I'm raising my voice right now. He didn't romp, stomp, and holler or do any of that. He just took the Word of God and he preached Jesus for 1 week through Genesis. Then he said at the sawmill, people were stopping by, people was coming, people at work there were saying, that's the worst preacher we ever had here. And said everything he had said to him was cutting. And said that night, that Friday night, of the last night of that revival, said he stopped, he come out there and he said, this week I have presented to you Jesus. Now who would like to take him? And my dad said, I went up there and told that man, I'd like to take that Jesus. That's what he said. Said, come, let him take. It's there for the taking. Let him take the water of life freely. And he said, I've had him ever since. And that's, hey, folks, it's the Word of God that does the work. As I told you one time in this class, a professor took some students out into a cemetery. Bible students studying to be preachers. This is a true story. He said, now I want you to tell them to get up. Tell all these people to get up. Rise. Said them students looked at him and said, we can't do that. He said, no, you do it. He said, you're going to do it or you're going to fail this class. He said, tell them to get up. So he said, they all stood there and said, and they said, well, you know nothing's going to happen. He said, you see how well your word is? He said, now what you going to preach? Your word or the word of God? He said, the word of God will rise these people up one day, which it's already done, part of it. But our word won't do nothing. That's a good example. It's the word of God that makes the difference. He presented Jesus. And by faith, he took a step to that presentation and took him. Salvation's not complicated. Whosoever will, let him come. Mind, heart, and will. The word enters the mind, goes in the heart, and the will makes you step. Faith, but faith is a substance. Faith is not blind. And when we get back to looking at this covenant again, Isaiah 42:6. Man, I tell you, we have a covenant with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A covenant has two parties in it. And this covenant we have is with him, but he's the surety of the covenant. He is the one that's promised to pay all debts. He's done paid them all. All right? I got you. All right, he's the surety of the brother. And he's also a surety. Judah said, let it be on me. I got time to read this. Let's go to Genesis chapter 44. We read this last week, but I want us to look at it again. Judah, we know, is a type of Christ here. Look at verse 31. This is Judah speaking to Joseph. It shall come to pass when he seeth that the lad is not with us, he's speaking of his father, that he will die, and thy servants shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became a surety. You see that? For thy servant became a surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. That's how much God loves us. When he saved us, he said, I'll bear the blame if I can't deliver him to you. I'm not going through the tribulation because I'm not appointed to wrath. We looked at that last week. Now look in 49, Genesis 49. Speaking of Judah, 49:10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. This was Jacob's blessing to Judah, telling him what he is. And looky there, he's the Christ. He's the scepter will not leave Judah. And buddy, he is a surety for us. You see that? It says, his eyes shall, binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. He is a type of, that's the promise of Christ, the lineage of Christ. And he is the elder brother. Christ is our elder brother. That's what it says in Hebrews. He's the first begotten of the brethren. We're joint heirs with Christ. You see that? He is a surety for us. He's going to deliver us to the Father. He's our surety. If your surety is in yourself and you're being able to do it, give it up. It's useless. Your surety better be in Christ. Not in yourself. He is a surety. He's a better promise. That covenant can become a testament. Right? He can become a testament. And without the death of the tester, there's no testament. So we are joint heirs with Christ in a will, in a testament. I've got paperwork to show it. I've got the deed to eternal life. I'm joint heirs with Christ. He's my elder brother, and he's going to deliver me. What more can I ask for? But faith is not blind. Faith has substance. You know, lost people think that we're just ignorant and stepping in blind faith, right? Now, you know they do. They feel sorry for us. They do. They feel sorry for it. We're just ignorant. But I have some proof. When the Holy Spirit's within me, I have the promise. I know it. I have substance. Through faith, I understand. Through faith, I touch God. Through faith, I smell. I can discern. Don't tell me it don't work when you get around something you smell that you used to smell years ago. It don't smell the same. I did a little bartending, believe it or not. And when that smell is awful now to me. Why? Because my senses are exercised to discern that it's wrong. When I hear something that I used to hear years ago, it goes straight to my soul and says, you don't like that anymore. You don't want that anymore. When I taste something I used to taste, I say, whoa, spit that out. That shouldn't be in there. Right? The soul has senses. It can smell, taste, hear. It can see. When I see things that I used to would have watched, my soul says, turn it. That's garbage. When I feel something, my soul says, put it down. Because your senses are discerned. You see that? And what discerns them? What sharpens them? This right here is the stone that'll sharpen the soul. And it'll discern something. Right? You put it away. Old song I was here, bluegrass song I was listening to for a couple of weeks here. A sword, it ain't no good hanging on your side. What good is it? Word of God's a sword. But if it's just going to hang there, what good is it? Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. And God, thank you for your word. Thank you for such a blessing that your word is to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.